Good morning. It's Monday, June 1st. I genuinely can't believe it's June already. And this is Protocol's Source Code. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Walmart. I'm David Pierce. I hope you watched it on Saturday, but in case you didn't, it launched.
1-0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA. Go SpaceX. Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
SpaceX and NASA pulled off the launch on Saturday afternoon after weather screwed it up a few days earlier. The launch went smoothly, and 19 hours later on Sunday morning, so did the Crew Dragon spacecraft docking with the International Space Station.
Dragon arriving. Crew of Expedition 63 is honored to welcome Dragon and the commercial crew program.
Of course, everybody's all smiles and happy now, but before the launch, there were a lot of nerves on all sides.
I stopped getting nervous for launches. Today I'm nervous again. Super nervous. Stomach and throat.
Understandable.
It's fantastic. Fantastic.
That's Gwynne Shotwell, SpaceX's COO, a few minutes before launch. On Sunday, after the launch, Elon Musk told a group of reporters that he was having a hard time putting it into words. He was so emotional. He also said that the job is not over. Bringing home the astronauts, Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley, could be even more complicated than getting them off the planet in the first place. But this was a cool weekend because space is cool, but also because the stakes for space are higher than you might think already. Here's how NASA's Jim Bridenstine described what this launch meant right now.
They're laying the foundation for a new era in human spaceflight. It's an era in human spaceflight where more space is going to be available to more people than ever before. We envision a future where low Earth orbit is entirely commercialized, where NASA is one customer of many customers.
And as space becomes more colonized by more countries and companies, the U.S. thinks it's important to be able to do every part of it on its home turf. Relying on other countries, including potentially hostile ones, to get Americans into space becomes a problem as things like GPS, satellite internet, and even whatever space war turns out to look like become important parts of our future. Just ask China, which announced a couple of days before the Launch America launch that it was speeding up its own plans to build a space station. Things like space tourism and going to Mars feel far away and sort of theoretical still. But a lot of people think the next space age started on Saturday. In other news, here are three things you should know about today. Zoom plans to start offering end-to-end encryption for video calls soon, but only for paying customers. Though it did say it might also be offering the feature to nonprofits, government dissidents, and others who need it. An internal Microsoft poll showed that only 55% of employees think their compensation is competitive with other companies, and that number has been decreasing for the last several years. Lastly, President Trump and Mark Zuckerberg had a phone call this weekend to talk about social media and free speech. According to Axios, it went well. Now, before we go, let's talk for a minute about how the tech industry responded to the protests all over America this weekend. All weekend, companies were expressing their support for the Black community and the protesters and calling for an end to racial injustice in America. I'll just read you a couple of the statements. Here's Sundar Pichai. Today on US Google and YouTube homepages, we share our support for racial equality in solidarity with the Black community and in memory of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and others who don't have a voice. For those feeling grief, anger, sadness, and fear, you are not alone. Here's Airbnb's Brian Chesky. Black lives matter. We stand with those using their voices and peacefully calling for justice, fairness, and racial equality. There were dozens of these, and they all sound kind of like that. Netflix, for whatever it's worth, had the tweet that got passed around the most. The official company account tweeted this: "To be silent is to be complicit. Black lives matter. We have a platform, and we have a duty to our Black members, employees, creators, and talent to speak up." In most of these cases, an interesting thing happened in the responses to these tweets and posts. I mean, other than the predictable politics and infighting. Over and over, people were asking tech companies what they were going to do about it, how they'd put their money where their mouth is, and what actual action they were going to be taking. A few executives pledged to give away money to social justice organizations and got a lot of credit for it. But to some people, all of the tech talk felt like a lot of thoughts and prayers and not a lot of action. And after the last few days in which we've also seen Facebook employees start to speak out against Mark Zuckerberg's decision to not moderate Trump's tweets, the chorus is only getting louder. It's people asking for tech companies to take more action, spend more money, and pick more fights, honestly, in support of their values. These questions wind up being bigger than social and bigger than moderation and bigger than Trump. They're about what tech companies are supposed to do and be and represent in the world. And I don't think those questions are going away anytime soon. Anyway, that's it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to Source Code wherever you get podcasts and sign up to get the Source Code email newsletter every day at protocol.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
How Walmart is promoting a safer store environment. The retailer has expanded paid leave policies, closed stores for overnight cleaning, installed plexiglass barriers and social distance markers, and introduced temperature checks for associates. Interested in learning more? Visit the Walmart Newsroom.